said in 1958, and I'm sure some people will remember it. It's also an amazing fact that there have been approximately 900 songs with the word love in the title released since 1960. And I'm sure there's been lots of other songs that are about love that don't have love in the title. And then the last amazing fact, if you're a Beatles fan, which I am, you will probably recall that the first song they made on vinyl, do you remember those 45 RPM? The first song they made on vinyl was Love Me Do. If you flipped over, because that's what you had to do, the song was P.S. I Love You. We talk and sing a lot about love, and we all want to be loved. And the great news is, the absolutely great news is, we all are. We are all loved by God. And Scripture is full of texts telling how much God loves us. If you turn to 1 John verse 3, which is in the same chapter but that we read in today but earlier on, it's got these wonderful words, one of my favourite verses. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I love the idea, don't you, of God lavishing love on us. It's somehow really extravagant, and I love it because it's extravagant. Because God is extravagant in his love for us, and he loves every single one of us that much. What makes it even better is that God loves us unconditionally. Regardless of what we've done or what we haven't done, regardless of what we think about ourselves and whether we feel we're worth loving or not. God loves us so deeply, and he proved his love for us by carrying out the most amazing act. He sent his only son, Jesus, fully God, fully human, to lay down his life for us on the cross so that we may have the opportunity of being in loving relationship with him forever. And do you know, there's nothing in life that gets better than that. The text for today is 1 John 3:16, and it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. John 3:16 as well, written by the same John that we're talking about, is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. And Martin Luther described it as the heart of the Bible and the gospel in miniature. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What a great promise that is, that God sent his only Son, Jesus, who died for us on the cross, who endured betrayal, abandonment, humiliation, scourging, and a horrific death by crucifixion, all for us because he loves us. And Jesus endured that because that is the only way we can be in relationship with God. And kind of incomprehensibly, really, that is God's desire. Because God doesn't need us to love him. He doesn't need our love, but he does love us and wants us in relationship with him. And that is an act of pure grace. And I, for one, are delighted by that act of pure grace. To understand the problem and why Jesus needed to die, we need to understand that God is holy. He's holy and cannot look on wrongdoing. God is perfect in every single way. In contrast to us, who are not. In fact, God through Isaiah tells us our righteousness is like filthy rags. We might feel we're doing quite well, we might be regarded as a good person by others. But we know, don't we, that we're not perfect. And we know that we do wrong. For example, I think most people have been envious of other people at times. Maybe because of their wealth. Maybe because of their health. Maybe because of their influence. Or maybe the relationships they have with others. For whatever reason, I think we've all known envy. I think it likely also that we've all gossiped about others at times. And I think however well we try to do to live our lives, we've all done things we are ashamed of. And if we'd done only one thing in our lives that was wrong, it would mean we were not perfect and therefore not holy like God. And I suggest that we have difficulty going through a day, a morning, without doing anything wrong, let alone a lifetime. So in order to have a relationship with God, which God very much wants, as we've said, because he loves us, we need to become holy. Jesus, as I say, fully divine, fully human, is the only man who lived a perfectly holy life. And that's why it had to be him who died on our behalf. Jesus voluntarily, he gave himself up of his own free will to pay the penalty for our wrongdoing on the cross, so that every one of us may have the opportunity to accept the free gift of living forever with God. Now, all we need to do to accept the free gift is to tell God that we know that we do wrong and that we're sorry. That we'd like to live differently, though we won't live a perfect life. And that we want to accept and follow Jesus as our saviour. But God will not force himself on us. He desires our love, but our love needs to be freely given. So it is our choice whether we accept that free gift of God as Saviour and the delight of an eternity spent in community with him. And that's the same with any gift, isn't it? For example, when my grandmother died many years ago, she left her engagement ring to me, which I always wear. It was given to me by my cousin in a box. Now, I didn't have to look in the box to know what the ring was like because I'd seen my grandmother wear it. But I had to look in the box and wear it to accept the gift and to appreciate it. We've all been offered a gift, the gift of salvation, and it's a wonderful choice to accept it. And I, for everyone, would like everybody to be Christians, because it is such a wonderful life. And one of the things that's helped me to find words to talk about my faith is the book by Nikki Gumbel called Why Jesus. And I meant to bring a few along, but typically I forgot them, so I haven't even got them, I'm afraid. But if you're interested in a book by Nikki Gumbel, please do ask me. But what we have got, which is great, I've come here today, we've got these. And these go through the steps of actually becoming a Christian. So these are fantastic if you just happen to be somebody that hasn't yet accepted the Lord, and fantastic if you want to talk to somebody else about the Lord. So I recommend, please do use them, and I will try and bring in the Nikki Gumbel book as well. We've said that we need to be holy to be in relationship with God. Well, once we become a Christian, the most amazing things happen. When God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus, who is holy. So we're seen as holy, even though in this life we will continue to do wrong. So put it another way, we're righteous. I've heard it called imputed righteousness through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 tells us that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are righteous through Jesus. We also know from this text that our relationship with God has depended on Jesus laying down his life in order that we may be saved. And we're also told to lay down our lives for others. So I just want to think a little about what that means. Now, some Christians have to literally lay down their life because they're Christians. I don't know whether you've heard the story of the Polish priest, Maximilian Kolbe, who died in Auschwitz. 10 men were condemned to death by prison officers because a prison had escaped. Kolbe, at 47, offered himself as a substitute for a young man with a wife and children. His offer was accepted and he died. He literally laid down his life for his faith. In addition, Christians in countries where people are persecuted for their faith, for which there are many and a growing number, do accept being killed rather than renounce Jesus. The words to live is Christ, to die is gain, is an everyday reality for them. So we may be asked to lay down our lives. It could happen, but it may not. What is certain is that we're called to live sacrificially. I managed to say that. And I think the first thing I want to mention is character. I've heard Malcolm talk about character being paramount. And that is the case, that character is paramount in our lives as Christians. It's because our character as a Christian has been shaped by the Holy Spirit that we're enabled to live sacrificially. Paul tells the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gosh, that is quite a list, isn't it? And quite a challenge. If we're able to love people who don't love us, if we're able to show kindness to people who are mean to us, if we're gentle with people when they're not gentle with us, we will be living sacrificially. There is a cost to being a Christian. There's a cost to not retaliating when you feel wronged. And that can be very hard. Wonderfully, our character, though, is being changed by the Holy Spirit. And we're being transformed to become more like Jesus, so that we can live in a godly way. We've already said that we've been called to live sacrificially, and that is also about what we actively do. And it means not pursuing our own agenda, but prayerfully seeking God's agenda. Now, God's agenda might be very inconvenient for us. It might include things that seem small but are sacrificial to us. It might include things that maybe don't seem very important. We might be called to show people acts of kindness. It's a big thing now, isn't there, about random acts of kindness. We Christians should be known for our random acts of kindness. We might offer to get a person shopping. We might offer to cook a meal when somebody's ill. There's lots and lots of other things that I'm sure you can think of. It may also include doing big things differently. Abraham was asked to set out with his family from his home in Haran to a place God would show him. And he didn't know where that was, at 75. I think that required a great deal of faith. I'm also very struck by the next verse to the verse that we've looked at, which says, 1 John 3 verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? I'm just going to say it again. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Being a Christian is incredibly challenging. And there's lots of questions, I think, that we can ask ourselves. Are we compassionate towards others? Difficult to be at times, isn't it? Does the love we show other people reflect the unconditional love that God has shown us? Are we willing for the Holy Spirit to change our character so that by degrees we become more like Jesus? Are we generous with our money, with our possessions, with our time? Are we praying for God to show us his agenda for our lives? Can I pray that these questions are part of our prayer time, and that we rejoice because we know that Jesus is Lord and Jesus loves us? Thank you.